Mam
karmani
limpanti
na
me
karmapale
spriha
iti
mam
yaha
abhijanati
karma
bihi
na
saha
bhajyate
namam karmani limpanti
Name
karma pale
spriha
iti mam yo bijanati
karma
birna
sabadyate
no
never
mam
me
karmani
all kinds of work
limpanti
do effect.
Na
nor.
May.
My.
Karma
pale.
In fruit of action.
Spriha.
Aspiration.
Iti.
Thus.
Mam.
Me.
Yaha.
One who.
Abhijanati.
Does know.
Karma bihi,
by the reaction of such work.
Na,
never.
Saha,
he.
Bhajyate,
becomes entangled.
Translation,
there is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As there are constitutional laws in the material world stating that the king can do no wrong, or that the king is not subject to the state laws, similarly, the Lord, although He is the creator of this material world, is not affected by the activities of the material world. He creates and remains aloof from the creation, whereas the living entities are entangled in the fruit of results of material activities because of their propensity for lording it over material resources. The proprietor of an establishment is not responsible for the right and wrong activities of the workers, but the workers are themselves responsible. The living entities are engaged in their respective activities of sense gratification, and these activities are not ordained by the Lord. For advancement of sense gratification, the living entities are engaged in the work of this world, and they aspire to heavenly happiness after death. The Lord, being full in Himself, has no attraction for so-called heavenly happiness. The heavenly demigods are only His engaged servants. The proprietor never desires the low-grade happiness such as the workers may desire. He is aloof from the material actions and reactions. For example, the rains are not responsible for different types of vegetation that appear on the earth, although without such rains, there is no possibility of vegetative growth. Vedic Smriti confirms this fact as follows. Nimittamatram evaso srijanam sargakarmani pradhana karana bhuta yato vai srija shaktavaha shaktayaha. In the material creations, the Lord is the only supreme cause. The immediate cause is material nature, by which the cosmic manifestation is made visible. End quote. The created beings are of many varieties, such as the demigods, human beings, and lower animals, and all of them are subject to the reactions of their past good or bad activities. The Lord only gives them the proper facilities for such activities and the regulations of the modes of nature, but He is never responsible for their past and present activities. In the Vedanta Sutra, 2.134, it is confirmed, Vaishamya Nagrinye Na Sapekshatvat. The Lord is never partial to any living entity. The living entity is responsible for his own acts. The Lord only gives him facilities through the agency of material nature, the external energy. Anyone who is fully conversant with all the intricacies of this law of karma, or fruit of activities, does not become affected by the results of his activities. In other words, the person who understands this transcendental nature of the Lord is an experienced man in Krishna consciousness, and thus, he is never subjected to the laws of karma. One who does not know the transcendental nature of the Lord and who thinks that the activities of the Lord are aimed at fruitive activities, as are the activities of the ordinary living entities, certainly becomes entangled himself in fruitive reactions. But one who knows the Supreme Truth is a liberated soul fixed in Krishna consciousness. Namam karmani limpanti, name karma pales priha, itimam yo bijanati karma birna subhajate. This is an important point, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do no wrong because he is all good and he is the ultimate authority. Just as formerly, the law was that the king can do no wrong. In other words, it's understood that because the king is the highest authority and the rest of the state is working under his direction, how could the state then judge him or punish him for anything that he might do if he's above the state? And that is a correct principle to some extent. Sometimes, however, the king is so misguided, as in the case of Maharaj Vena. He misused this power to such an extent that the Brahmanas decided that he should be removed. And in that case he was. But otherwise, the king, the divine right of kings, is acceptable because in terms of managing the state, he is supposed to be Naradeva. He's supposed to be empowered by God. So, what to speak of God himself, Krishna? There's no question of him ever falling down, achyuta. He cannot become implicated in anything wrong or material. Sometimes people with a poor fund of knowledge think that Krishna was a nice young boy until he met the gopis, and because of their lusty desires, he became implicated or affected. But this means they don't really understand that Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is transcendental. In the Ishopanishad, it is described, apapavidam, the Lord is described. He cannot be touched by anything sinful. He's completely prophylactic and pure. Not only that, but in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is described that he's so pure that he cannot be contaminated by any impure thing, and whatever so-called impure things come in touch with him become purified. For example, stealing is a sin. We all know. Sinful to steal. But when Krishna steals, it becomes glorious. Makkanachor. He becomes a thief and he becomes famous as a thief. If someone else becomes a thief, they're put in prison, they're given so many years hard labor. He's not famous. When he comes out of prison, it's not that everyone applauds, oh, wonderful, now the thief is... No, everyone criticizes, oh, you're a thief, you went to prison. They don't give him very nice. But when Krishna steals, it becomes glorious. Or when Krishna runs away from the battlefield, generally that is considered cowardice. And for a Kshatriya to run away from the battlefield is the most abominable thing. In fact, Krishna himself is using that argument against Arjuna. How have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting one who knows the higher values of life. Anarya jushtam asvargyam akirti kuru arjuna. They do not lead to the higher planets. You're acting like a non-Aryan, one who does not know the duties of a Kshatriya. How can you even think of running away from the battlefield? In the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that for a Kshatriya, yudhe chapyalayam, he doesn't run away from the battlefield. He stands and fights. So Krishna ran away. When Jarasandha was attacking, he ran. And also when Kalyavana was attacking, he ran away twice. So how's that? But then he's glorified, Ranchorji, the great one who ran away from the battlefield. That means that he's so pure that nothing impure can affect him. Rather, the impure thing becomes purified. We should always understand this. And same thing with Krishna's name. Krishna's name is non-different than Krishna. And wherever Krishna's name is chanted, that place becomes a holy place, becomes sanctified. Even this material world, where we see so much influence of ignorance and passion. But as soon as the holy name is chanted, the place becomes purified. What about Jagai Madai? There were no more sinful persons than Jagai and Madai. Their activities were totally abominable, unmentionable. But even they went so far as to attack Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the personification of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So who could be more offensive? Lord Nityananda Prabhu had come personally to deliver them on a number of occasions, very humbly presenting, my dear brothers, you're born of Brahmin family. Why don't you give up these abominable activities and chant the holy names? And they became angry, hurled the pot, caused the blood. Lord Chaitanya came and he was prepared to kill them for this offense, which they deserved. But Nityananda Prabhu intervened and asked Lord Chaitanya to save them. So he agreed to save them on the condition that they would chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And they agreed, and there they became great devotees of the Lord. So it seems that there's nothing that cannot be purified by Krishna or Krishna's name, or even Krishna's devotees. They also have the same potency as the Lord. Why? Because, according to this verse, as Lord Krishna is saying, he's not affected Namam karmani limpanti, by his activities. He's transcendental, and one who knows this, abhijanati, karma bir nasabhajate, he also becomes free from his activities. He's not bound up. He's also transcendental. And this makes sense. If Krishna is transcendental, why shouldn't he want his devotees, his friends, his associates to also be transcendental? Because he's associating with them, he's carried by them in their hearts, and they're always in his hearts, his heart. Therefore, he gives them the same facilities. It's like we see Krishna, he's embracing his friends. He's embracing the cow. He's embracing the gopis. He's not thinking, I'm God, and how can I touch anyone? They're not God. I'm so great. If I touch anyone, they're less. They're ordinary. I may become contaminated, as we are very much afraid to touch anything impure. So, why doesn't Krishna think like that? No. Because he likes to touch his devotees. He doesn't like to touch non-devotees. Non-devotees, Krishna is not very much interested in touching them directly. Just like that Kalyamana, the one who was chasing Krishna. He was so impure. Krishna didn't want to touch him. Even for killing. Actually, he needed to be killed, this Kalyamana. He was very demoniac. But Krishna didn't even want to touch him for killing. He was so impure. So he arranged that Muchukunda would kill him by his glance upon waking up. Krishna doesn't like to touch the non-devotees or associate with them. But he very much likes to associate with his devotees because they're so pure. How do they become pure? They become pure by thinking of Krishna, by serving Krishna. And when they become pure, free from all these contaminated desires, then they become fit. Vasudev. Vasudev is pure. And one can only associate with Vasudev on his platform. One can only enter the fire if he's fire. It's like the sun. We hear from the scriptures that there's life on the sun. There are people living there. So how do they live there? They must have the quality of fire. If we go with our present bodies, they'll be burned to ashes. So similarly, one cannot associate with Krishna, with Vasudev, unless he's also pure. And we cannot become pure without Krishna. So therefore, the chanting of the holy name is especially meant to purify Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Binnatvam Nami Namino. Purna Shuddho, this is the holy name of the Lord is completely pure. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto, and liberated. Krishna is liberated from all reactions. He can do anything he likes. It's like Balaram. Balaram, he was not very pleased with the Ramaharshan Sutta because he was offensive. He didn't pay obeisances to Lord Balaram. So Balaram awarded him the death penalty with the Kusha grass weapon. And afterwards, everyone was shocked. He was seated on the Vyasasan. All the sages had elected him. And they said to Balarama, our dear Lord, you just You just killed the speaker. We had all chosen him to speak. He was very expert on the scriptures, and Balaram said, "Oh, if you like, I can bring him back to life. Would you prefer?" And they said, no, you must have had good reason for killing him. We don't want to counteract or interfere with your reason. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know. But still, we think that maybe you should perform some activity to set the example for others. Not, we know that you're pure and you cannot be touched, but maybe you can do something. So he said, yes, you just give me some purificatory activity, I will perform that. So they asked him to kill that demon, Balbala. And he did that. Then he went to the holy places. So it was not that he actually had become impure by killing Rama Maharshan Sutta, but to set the example, he wanted to please the brahmanas, sages. Otherwise, there's no question. Sometimes for pastime, Krishna may act like, yes, I've committed a mistake. Even his mother thought, this Krishna, he broke the pot of butter. He went up, little child. He wasted so much butter, he gave it to the monkeys. This child has to be punished. This is not good. So she thought, let me bind him to a grinding mortar. Well, first of all, there was some problem. She had a difficult time binding him. Finally, he agreed to let her bind him. She bound him, but then he thought, what is this? My mother's binding me for some so-called mischievous activity, feeding the monkeys. There was nothing wrong with that. These monkeys are great sages. Anyway, I'm going to do something even more mischievous now. So he took that mortar and he crawled. It was quite a heavy mortar too. For a baby, her idea was that the baby wouldn't be able to even move and have to stay there. She underestimated baby Krishna's power. He pulled the mortar very easily. Not only that, but he pulled it until it became stuck, caught in between two gigantic Arjun trees. And then he kept pulling until those trees fell down with a huge crash. And then Mother Yashoda came and the others came. What happened? How'd the trees fall? Some of the little children described what happened. That there were these two, shining persons came out of the trees and they paid their obeisances to Krishna, and it was Krishna knocked down the trees. And it's a little hard for them to believe. But this is Krishna. Even Mother Yashoda thought that maybe Krishna should be punished. But there's nothing punishable for Krishna. Everything he does is perfect. Should never doubt, even for a moment. Sometimes there's one book. It is called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People by Hare Krishna. Not Hare Krishna, but Hare Krishna. So he tries to apologize for God. He's thinking that God sometimes does things, what can he do? He makes some mistakes. We shouldn't hold it against God. He's a nice fellow, but what can he do? This was his justification, because they can't understand how the Holocaust could have happened. It's a big problem for them. How could the Holocaust have happened? So many millions of people killed, good people. How could God allow that? God must be Well, he must not be all-powerful. He's a nice fellow, but actually there's some power beyond him. This is their justification. So this means they don't understand. God is not, doesn't need someone to apologize for his lack of power. No. But as described here in the purport, he's situated as neutral. He's not responsible for the activities of the living entities in this world. They're responsible. And if they commit sinful activities, then they will get the karma. You cannot hold him responsible for that. Just as when a high court judge is seated on his seat and some murderers come in and he says, the evidence has been presented, you are guilty of this murder, therefore you should be sentenced to death. You cannot say that the judge is partial. Oh, he doesn't like those people. Why? He's simply giving them what they deserve. So simply Krishna is also giving everyone what they deserve through his Maya Shakti, through the material energy. He's not touched by it. He's completely transcendental. We like to blame God for things that we don't like in this world. Oh, why could God be so dull to allow such a thing to go on? Hurricanes coming in, killing so many people. Earthquakes. Oh, God, why is he doing this? Doesn't he know these are good people? He knows. He knows exactly what's going on. Everything he knows. And he's giving exactly what we need. Exactly what everyone deserves. This is faith. We have to understand this. Otherwise we'll become bewildered. As so many have become bewildered and have become basically atheists. Most people are struggling with atheism because their faith is weak, because they don't understand this principle that Krishna is God and he doesn't do anything wrong. He's all merciful and everything he does is perfect. The soul never dies. Just like a physician. When a patient comes and the patient has a very serious disease, then the physician will say, you should not eat anything. Nothing solid for you. So someone who doesn't understand might think, why is this physician being so cruel? He's not letting this poor man eat. Look at the man, he's already sick and now he can't eat. No. It means you don't understand. The physician knows that if this person eats, he'll die. And if he doesn't eat, he'll get well. So similarly, Krishna, sometimes, he gives punishments. But that's only to cure the disease of the living entities. Sometimes they may have to go down to the lowest species. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, I put them down into lower and lower species. Why? If God is all merciful, why would he do that? Because that's the way to purify them. They'll go through those species and they'll get their reciprocation. Yayatamam parpadyate tams tataiva bhajamyaham. And then gradually they'll get another chance again. And if they are a little bit willing to be humble, they'll realize, I don't want to go through this suffering again. That Krishna or God is more powerful than me. It's like the father sometimes chastises the son. All right, son, you're not going to go out. You stay home for a week. And the child says, no, you can't do this. He said, yes, because you behave so poorly. Well, you learn the lesson, then you won't behave like that again. So, that supreme controller is Krishna, and it's always for our good, and he's not affected by anything that he does. He's always transcendental. So, that is the point of this verse. Are there any questions?
say that because we're suffering, we will learn, you know, we will accept God, but we can say it, we can see it in Europe, we have already two wars behind us, and in Russia there is war, and Yugoslavia is war, but still the people that don't become God conscious.
Some are. Some will learn. Not all, because that's our free will. Some of us are learning. We're giving up these activities now. Those who hear the Vedas, those who hear from the authorities, they can understand. But it requires a little bit of humility to accept that there's a higher authority of the Vedas. Just like, for example, if I ask a gentleman, what were you doing when you were 2 days old? He says, I don't know. He can't remember. But his mother can say, yes, when he was 2 days old, he had this, he had some complications, he had this operation. The person doesn't remember, but the mother remembers. So we hear from the mother, the higher authorities. Similarly, the scriptures, the Vedas, they tell us about what we've forgotten. We've forgotten all the previous lives we've had, all the millions of births. So they remind us, you've already gone through this. Now it's time to finish up this business. So we have to hear from the mother, Veda Mata, and the father. Krishna is telling us, stop this activity. I'll free you from all sinful reactions. Immediately, Krishna says, in a moment, all you have to do is surrender. Sarva dharman paricca jamami kam sharanam. But will we do it? We say, no, why should I do it? Who are you? Why should I surrender? Okay, so then Krishna says, all right, go again. Millions of lifetimes, if you like. There's 8,400,000 species for you to sample. You can sample them. That's our choice. But Krishna's come. He's done his part. He personally comes. He gives Bhagavad Gita. Vyasadeva is an incarnation. He presents all the Vedas. He comes again as Krishna, as Chaitanya, as a devotee. He makes it very simple. Just chant Hare Krishna. And if still we refuse, no, I won't chant. I refuse. Okay then. As you wish. You can try to enjoy this world. But don't hold me responsible. It's not Krishna's fault. It's our own fault. Any other questions? God is cruel?
No, not God, but our philosophy. Because we are, when you said to people, look, that's his own fault, he does so many sinful activity, then we say, but where is the mercy?
The mercy is you stop the sinful activities. The mercy is you surrender to Krishna. Then you're relieved immediately. Just like we go into the prison. If the governor goes to the prison, he may sometimes, or the king, we've heard of this before. The king goes in the prison and says, so, are you willing to give up your sinful ways? He speaks to a prisoner, face to face, eye to eye. Are you willing to stop these sinful activities? If the prisoner says, yes, yes, all right, you're free. But if he says, no, and he spits in his face, spits in the king's face, never. So the king says, all right, close the gate. Keep him in there till he rots. So everyone is given the chance to come out, but we have to be willing to accept Krishna. If we spit in Krishna's face, we cannot expect to be free. Even Krishna will forgive all that. But he doesn't want to subject the devotees of the Lord to such horrible persons. He himself can tolerate. He's in their heart even. The father is not offended by the son, even if the son does something disgusting. Just like the parents, we see, you know, mother, she has her baby, and the baby's, she's showing everyone how cute he is, and then he, you know, all over her. So it's disgusting, it's embarrassing, but anyway, she's not angry at the child because of love. So Krishna never actually becomes angry at the living entities because they're all his parts and parcels. But still, to rectify that wrongdoer, he gives him some punishment. That's his way of rectifying. It's his mercy. Any other questions? Number three.
And in Krishna's palace and in Vrindavan, the monkeys are all liberated souls.
The who?
The monkeys.
Oh, yes. They're not ordinary monkeys.
I was wondering because...
Great sages.
He was very reserved with his mercy, Krishna himself, you know.
So very what?
Very much reserved by his mercy, Krishna.
Reserved by his mercy.
He not shows to everybody.
Aha. Oh, yes.
So there were liberated souls?
Yes, Vrindavan, everyone is liberated. When Krishna comes, it's not that ordinary persons are involved in his direct pastimes. Those monkeys are not ordinary monkeys. Those cowherd boys, Shukadev Goswami, he describes, these are not ordinary cowherd boys. They perform so many millions of lives of pious activities, krita krita punya, just to have the opportunity to associate with Krishna. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.